young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is it a long way, she asked, and the guide said yes, and the way is hard, and you'll be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. The young mother was happy. She would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children, she fed them, she bathed them, and she taught them how to tie their shoes and ride a bike and reminded them to feed the dog and do their homework and brush their teeth. The sun shone on them, and the young mother cried, "Nothing will ever be more lovely than this." Then the nights came, and the storms, and the path was sometimes dark, and the children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close and covered them with her arms. And the children said, "Mother, we're not afraid, for you're near, and no harm can come." And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary, but all the time she said to her children, "A little patience, and we will be there." So the children climbed, and as they climbed, they learned to weather the storms. And with this, she gave them strength for the world. Year after year, she showed them compassion, understanding, and hope, but most of all, unconditional love. And when they reached the top, they said, "Mother, we could not have done it without you." The days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she became little and bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And the mother, when she lay down at night, looked up at the stars and said, "This is a better day than the last, for my children have learned so much and are now passing these traits to their children." And when the way became rough for her, they lifted her and gave her their strength, just as she had given them hers. One day they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And Mother said, "I've reached the end of my journey, and now I know the end is better than the beginning. For my children can walk with dignity and pride, with their heads held high, as their own children can." And the children said, "You will always walk with us, Mother, even after you've gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she's still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Your mother is always with you. She's a whisper of the leaves as you walk down the street. She's the smell of certain foods you remember, flowers you pick, perfume that she wore. She's the cool hand on your brow when you're not feeling well. She's your breath in the air on a cold winter's day. She's the sound of the rain that lulls you to sleep. She's the colors of the rainbow. She is Christmas morning. Your mother lives inside your laughter, and she's crystallized in every teardrop. A mother shows every emotion, happiness, sadness, fear, jealousy, love, hate, anger, helplessness, excitement, joy, sorrow, and all the while hoping and praying that you will know only the good feelings in life. She's the place you came from, your first home. She's the map you follow with every step you take. She's your first love, your first friend, even your first enemy. But nothing on earth can separate you. Not time, not space, not even death." I'm sorry, but author unknown. I don't know who to attribute that to. And then to lighten up just a little bit. So you think you're ready to have a baby. You have some tests that you have to pass. The first one is the mess test. Smear peanut butter on the sofa and curtains. Now rub your hands in the wet flower bed and rub it on the walls. Place a fish stick behind the couch and leave it there all summer. Obtain a 55-gallon box of Legos. If Legos are not available, you may substitute roofing tacks or broken bottles. Have a friend spread them all over the house. Put on a blindfold. Try to walk to the bathroom or the kitchen. Do not scream. This could wake up your child at night. The grocery store test. Borrow one or two small animals. Goats are best. Take them with you as you shop at the grocery store. Always keep them in sight and pay for everything they eat or damage. The dressing test. Obtain one large, unhappy, live octopus. Stuff it into a small net bag, making sure all arms stay inside. The feeding test. Obtain a large plastic milk jug. Fill it halfway with water. Suspend it from the ceiling with a stout cord. Start the jug swinging. Try to insert spoonfuls of soggy cereal, such as Fruit Loops or Cheerios, into the mouth of the jug while pretending to be an airplane. Now, dump the contents of the jug on the floor. The night test. Prepare by obtaining a small cloth bag and fill it with 8 to 12 pounds of sand. Soak it in water thoroughly. At 8 p.m., begin to waltz and hum with the bag until 9 p.m. Lay down your bag and set your alarm for 10 o'clock. Get up, pick up your bag, sing every song you ever heard. Make up about a dozen more and sing those until 4 a.m. Set your alarm for 5 a.m. Get up and make breakfast. Keep this up for 5 years. And look cheerful. The physical test. Obtain a large beanbag chair. Attach it to the front of your clothes. Leave it there for 9 months. Now remove 10% of the beans. Purchase a newspaper. Go home and read it quietly for the last time. Then your final assignment. Find a couple who already has a small child. Lecture them on how they can improve their child's discipline, patience, tolerance, toilet training, and table manners. Suggest many ways they can improve. Emphasize to them that they should never allow their children to run wild. Enjoy this experience. It will be the last time that you have all the answers. You may or may not know that the idea of Mother's Day was conceived by Anna Jarvis, a mother of 11 children. And she thought that there should be a special day to honor mothers. 39 years later, in 1914, following her death, in response to a campaign led by her daughter, President Woodrow Wilson made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. And while this is not in any way a Christian, quote, holiday, I can't think of anyone more deserving of being the recipient of Paul's admonition in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, give honor to whom honor is due than mothers. Can you? And so, we all say to you, mothers, Happy Mother's Day. I don't know what image the word mother conjures up in your mind, but nobody, not teachers, not preachers, not psychologists, get the same chance to mold human minds and human bodies and emotions like a mother does. A mother will forever impact the lives of her children. And perhaps the most quoted, at least in our country, person on Mother's Day is Abraham Lincoln, who said, "All I am or can be, I owe to my angel mother." Other famous persons said, the hand who rocks the cradle rules the world. Napoleon Bonaparte is said to have said, let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons. The influence that mothers have on children, on the course of history, is immeasurable. You remember Jochebed? That'd be an interesting test, wouldn't it? We'd have to kind of rack our brain. Jochebed, Moses' mother. Her faith and her courage and motherly love led her to a plan of action whereby Moses was spared, nursed, and taught about God and about truth and about righteousness. She taught him about his roots. She taught him about his heritage, what it meant to be a child of God, and imagine what this world would be if there had been no Jochebed. Her mothering influence, literally influenced the course of the entire world. How about Eunice, Timothy's mother? Later in his life, when he was an adult man, Paul wanted to encourage Timothy. And one of the things that he said to him was, I thank God when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also. And you think about that chain that God established, the chain of transmission from mother to daughter to son, from Lois to Eunice to Timothy, and all the things that had to have happened in their life in order to instill that level of faith in him. Do you think it was an accident that he was a man of deep faith? It came through that transmission that God set up in the family. How do you think that that faith got transferred? Well, actually, the Bible provides us a bit of insight into that particular case. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And he had already said who he learned them from, wasn't it? His mother and his grandmother. And now from those who taught him. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ. Faith doesn't come by accident in anybody's life. His mother, and maybe his grandmother also, read to him from the Bible and told him Bible stories when he went to bed at night. They sang songs about biblical heroes of bygone days. They sang songs about David and Noah and Abraham and Elijah and Jeremiah. They wrote out passages of Bible and stuck them on their refrigerator. They took him to Bible class every Sabbath day. They told him that he was going to be a great man of God one day. And he was. Eunice had a tough job because her husband was a Greek and not a Jew. He wasn't a believer. And so she shouldered the responsibility for her son's spiritual welfare. And she lived out her faith before her son and taught him to do the same. What about Hannah, Samuel's mother? You'll remember that the very reason that Samuel was born was because his mother was childless. And she made a vow to God. O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant and will give me a male child, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. The Lord heard, and the Lord honored her petition. And she honored her vow to the Lord, and she took young Samuel to be trained at the feet of God's priest, Eli. She put his spiritual welfare and his spiritual training before everything else in his life and everything else in her life. And you know that it had to be among the most difficult things in the world to take that young boy and to leave him in the care of someone else. God gave the best child-rearing instructions that were ever given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the first thing that's required if you want to rear godly children. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Jay Lockhart tells a story about when he was a young teenager. His father was working early afternoon shift one Wednesday evening, and he and his mother got in the car to go to midweek Bible study. She turned the key. Nothing happened. She tried it again. The car didn't respond. So his mother got out of the car and started walking down the driveway. And he said, young teenage boy, to his mother, Where are you going? We're going to church. And his next question was, but how are we going? She said, we'll walk. He said, but mother, it's more than 2 miles to the church building. And she said, hurry and we won't be too late. And Jay writes, that one worship service was a little thing, but I've never forgotten it. For my mother's attitude that night told me about her spiritual temperature. The Bible says, "He that is faithful in little is faithful in much." How fortunate I am, he said, to have Christian parents who taught me how to live, but they also showed me how to live. There are many other biblical mothers that we could talk about that set an example for us to follow today, but I want to close with an article that was written, at least part of an article that was written by Helen Young. She said, "I want to be a mother like Hannah, who prayed that God might give her a child and then dedicated that child to God's service." And of course, that would be Samuel. "I want to be a mother like Jochebed, who by courage and forethought protected her child from evil forces and trained him to love God and God's work above all the wealth and power of a king's court." That would be Moses. "I want to be a mother like Rachel, whose teenage son could resist the temptation of an evil woman when he was far away from her guidance or her reproof." That would be Joseph. "I want to be a mother like Noah's wife, who could so instill in her three boys the principles of God that they could live right when all their companions were evil. I want to be a mother like Mary, the mother of John Mark, who put the church first in her home. I want to be a mother like Eunice, who taught her child God's word from infancy and so molded his life that he became a faithful servant of the Master. And I also want to be a mother like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who thought much, though she talked little, whose submission to God's will was so perfect and complete, who was ever concerned about Jesus' welfare and did not forsake him when all others did, but followed him in love even to death. To every mother, rearing godly, faithful children does not require that everything be perfect in your family. Hang in there. Follow the example of these godly women and do everything you can to make your home a Christian home. And above all else, keep God first priority in your life. And teach your sons and your daughters to keep God first priority in their life. And for all the rest of us, honor and lift up those who have been and are trying to be such mothers in our lives and in the lives of others. And rather than criticizing when children don't behave perfectly, give a hand. Encourage. Help a mother carry her load. As Solomon said of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, "And her children shall rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her." The very best gift that you could give your mother, whether she's alive or whether she's not, is to be a Christian. And if you have children yourself, to rear your children as godly children that love the Lord and have a determination to follow Him all the days of their life, you could give your parents no better gift than such a gift. And that may mean in our lives that we recognize that there are some things that have kept us from being the kind of person that God wants us to be. There are some things that we know in our life that don't please God. And if that's the case, then this would really, really be a great day. And it's not just to give a gift to your mother, but to give a gift to yourself and to your entire family. That if there is something in your life that's keeping you from serving God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength, all of your abilities, then won't you give that up today in repentance and come back home to the Lord while we stand and sing.